The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the Hizzy, live from Bar Canada here at the D downtown. How you doing, sir? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. My ears hurt a little bit, but you know.
What's wrong with your ears? The headphones?
And, headphones.
Headphone injuries.
Kevin's finale day. He was like, let me just rocket this audio through his eardrums one more time.
Kevin Trask, final day behind the scenes audio. We miss him already.
All-star. Miss him.
Friday, it's packed as always. Football. Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle, and of course, a little podcast. It's called Long Shots. That we will have this hour. Three segments with Matt Brown, nothing but NFL. Then, of course, college football, both with Dr. Bob and Chris Felica. Dr. Bob on the analytics side, Bear with a different viewpoint than necessarily an analytics standpoint on college football. Not the sexiest week of matchups in college football. That doesn't mean we can't exploit it and make money. And then, of course, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke talking MLB. Giants back in playoff position. Just want to point that out. First, last night, the Vikings and the Eagles. Eagles bank another win. Two games where they could have just as easily had a different result, but they get it done again. They're 2-0, 34-28. The Eagles land right on the closing number. A push for anybody who got the close. Again, if you don't think getting the best of the number matters, here's example, you know, 5 bajillion on this. Books got sided on this, but the Eagles get it done 34-28. Kelly, I don't usually go a little guessing line style here on Friday morning, but I just, for the purposes of this, I just wanted to go through how ridiculous the first quarter is. First of all, let me just start with this. Is there one person who gets charged up by Michael Buffer anymore? Like, is that still a thing? Do you think there's like one human being who's like, oh my God, it's Michael Buffer. I'm so excited.
I thought the Rocky music was more exciting afterward than Buffer. It's a good call.
Buffer, by the way, who looks great at the age of 78, but the pipes don't last quite as long.
I believe I heard once upon a time. I'll do research while you're breaking down, but a ridiculous sum of what he gets paid to do that at random events.
I'm sure he gets charged up for it. The question is, do the rest of us get charged? So anyway, this first quarter, the Eagles went up 3-0, but then this is just a comedy of errors. First of all, the Eagles recovered their own fumble on a punt return after the Vikings couldn't do anything with it after the 3-0 deficit. Then Brandon Powell of the Eagles got a 3-and-out. Brandon Powell of the Vikings, he returned it into plus territory. They were going to start great, the Vikings were, but then Justin Evans knocked it loose. Nicholas Morrow recovers. Then Hurts throws it into double coverage, picked by Jackson. Then the Vikings started at their own 35. Alexander Mattison fumble, poked out by Avante Maddox, recovered by Justin Evans. Then Philly on a subsequent drive. Then on the subsequent drive, they start at the, they have a 3-and-out. They only gain 2 yards after that fumble recovery. Elliott misses a 55-yarder after that fumble recovery. And then Minnesota started at their own 45 after the missed field goal. Remember, Josh Oliver tripped Kirk Cousins. It was a 5-yard loss. Then the Eagles jumped offsides. That's the first quarter. Just one error after another. And at that point, I was already in my head with this is the worst product. Once again, we reminded you, Thursday Night Football is the worst product of anything any sport ever puts out.
First quarter, my thought after first quarter was preseason, week 6, here we go. Got it.
Week 5, but yes.
Five, sure.
No.
But
literally, you're like, it's like putting out a starting pitcher the next night and expecting it to go well, right? So it got a little different in the second quarter. It certainly got different in the second half. Obviously, the Vikings got it to 7-3 on a Cousins to Hockenson play. Then the Eagles decided, okay, we're just going to run the ball straight up the gut, try to stop us. 13 of 16 plays were rushing plays. Here's where the yardage gained on the rushes. What's that?
Thank God. You didn't think that the whole first half. Minnesota's sending everybody just like they were a week ago. And Philly's stuck doing their long, multiple option plays that take way too much time in the backfield. They're getting eaten up by the blitz. It's like, run it straight down their throats or throw some short slants. And they weren't doing it. They finally started to do it. Just DeAndre Swift over and over and over again was amazing.
Here's where the rushing gains on that drive that put them up 14-10, 7-3-6-4-2-7-4-8-5-7-5-4. and one on the Tuchus Bush to put them in 10-7, by the way. Eagles with 2:44 left. Then the Vikings matriculated. And you know where I'm going with this. We've just got to spend 90 seconds on this. Cousins to Jefferson on a 2nd and 10 at the Philly 31 with 41 seconds left in the half. They're down 3. Cousins to Jefferson, left pylon, tackled by Terrell Edmonds. Jefferson extends, loses the ball, on review, goes over the pylon. Turnover, the dumbest rule in sports.
Yep.
By the way, Elliott will sink a 61-yard field goal to put the Vikings up 13-7 at the half. And again, if you don't think this is Plinko, this is the greatest example of it. Instead of the Vikings being up 14-10 going into the locker room, instead, it's Eagles 13, Vikings 7. By the way, Al Michaels had no idea the Eagles were setting up for a field goal. It kind of was lost on him until the very last second. But we have to talk about that play again. And I know there's some people out there. And let me just say, this is a great tweet from Sam Monson, who we've had on the show many times at Pro Football Focus. Justin Jefferson at just 24 years old, and he finished this game with 11 catches for 159 yards and one fumble loss. At 24 years old, now has more career receiving yards than any Chicago Bears receiver in the team's history. All 100-plus years of it.
That's wild.
It's incredible. We love you, Bears fans. But anyway, I know there are some people who are not triggered by this. The other team gets possession if the ball is fumbled through the end zone rule. But Kelly, it makes no sense whatsoever. An offensive player, any offensive player cannot fumble in the end zone. Let's just talk about it logically. It's impossible. If he possesses the ball in the end zone, even a millisecond, it's a touchdown, okay, in the end zone itself. If a player fumbles while in the field of play, the ball goes out of bounds in between the goal lines. The ball's returned to the spot of the fumble. Unless it goes backwards, then you get the ball where the ball goes out of bounds. But somehow, if a player fumbles in the field of play and it goes through this magic plane that's the goal line,
yep,
somehow the defense is rewarded even though they don't recover the football. Now, I missed the memo where the defense had an escape hatch, a get-out-of-jail-free card in the sport of football, where let's say a team goes, I don't know, 87 yards, just let's make up something. You can't stop them at all. And then all of a sudden, you're like, ah, escape hatch. We got lucky. We don't even have to recover it. It's ridiculous. There's no logical incentive for it whatsoever. And you do, by rule, you incentivize the football, the offensive player to go over the goal line, a la Drew Brees. So they are incentivized to do it. You can't make the consequence of it. And again, you didn't recover it. There's no vortex at the pylon.
Right, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. It's the stupidest thing ever. Anyway.
I mean, it should just be returned to wherever, I don't know, wherever the guy lost control of the ball. Or there's no reason why
if it offends you so much, give him 1st and 10 at the 20.
Exactly.
The offense goes back to the 20-yard line. Not their own, but
sure,
your
20. Right.
But, like, you don't get the ball.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, that one's absurd. I'm here for the rules conversation if we want to today, because I am very against that one. I'm very for the other one that everybody's having
the Tuchus Bush?
Yeah.
You like the Tuchus Bush?
I like the Eagles taking advantage of the rule. Like, I think it's a dumb rule, but, like, if you're not going to get rid of it, stop. People are freaking out.
I just find it
about the Eagles abusing it somehow.
No, you're allowed to do it.
Do it.
I just offended that Carissa Thompson and everybody else calls it a Tush Bush. It's a Tuchus Bush. Let's just get that clear. Wishnev's problem with it is that, just like the extra point, here's his logic, and I'm going to try to make his point for him. He never said it comparing to the extra point, but I'll use the extra point example, which is, remember how the PAT in football in the NFL used to be automatic. 98% of the time,
it went through
the uprights. If it's that easy, if it's 98% on the Tuchus Bush from the 1-yard line, he's like, that. No play should be that easy, is his point. So, agree or disagree with that, that would be his stance on the matter.
Yeah, I understand that. My stance is just, I feel like the only time you see people raging about it is when the Eagles are effectively using it. And it's like, okay, so you're getting mad that they're being successful within the rule book.
The funniest part that I find about it is that Eagles fan think that it's some unique talent that they possess. No, you were great. You thought about at first, but other teams will start doing it, you know.
The other one that, like, there was a couple of them, at least, like, that second touchdown one, you know, they set up in that formation. There's a lot of times where there is no push whatsoever. Like, that last touchdown Jalen Hurts scored, he just went over left guard. Like, that was it. He dove right in the end zone. There's no push from behind at all.
Anyway, instead of the Vikings being up 14-10 at the half, they're down 13-7. And then, you know, then the Eagles went up 27-7. early in the second half and you're like, oh, here's the Eagles team. Because to this point, you're like, oh, the Eagles don't look anything like they did last year. Oh, here are these guys. The Hurts to Smith play for 63 yards, making it 27-7. And the Vikings then cut it to 27-14 really quickly. Cousins of Jordan Addison for 62, then 27-21 on a 9-play, 86-yard drive. That was after the Eagles did that 15-play, 44-yard, 9-minute drive that went nowhere. So 27-21, but a lot of DeAndre Swift after that, including a 43-yarder. He eventually scores, makes it 34-21. And the Eagles don't go for two there. Why do you not go for two there?
No idea.
Math is difficult.
Addition. I was screaming at my TV, by the way.
Addition, subtraction's evil friend. Like, it's really...
Like, that was the one... What were we... I forget what play we were talking about last week, but the instant, like, the... Like, the field goal team came out immediately, and I was like, we're not even going to think about this here? Like, where there's not someone upstairs going nuts about this?
It ends up as a 34-28 final, and I guess here's the question. The Vikings, after going 11-0 in one-score games last year, are now 0-2 in one-score games. Funny how that happens. They're, after being another -3 in turnovers last night, they're -6 on the young season through 2 weeks. Remember, it cost them 3 points last week. That was the margin of victory. That's all that Tampa Bay needed to win that game. Here, it cost them not only the Justin Jefferson 7, but the sack on Cousins where he fumbled it, then it was a short field for the Eagles. So, like, that's their whole season. They're 0-2. And the Eagles, as pedestrian or as mediocre as they've looked, they still bank the wins.
2-0. Yeah, 2-0. Bank the wins. I think there's going to be some value on the Vikings going forward.
You think there's value on the Vikings?
Going forward, betting game to game.
Did you learn anything new about the Eagles? Because I didn't.
No, not at all.
I didn't.
No.
I'm still very...
I think they've played mediocre games and gotten away with 2 wins.
Yeah. Matt Brown joins us. His thoughts on last night, but really his thoughts on week 2. All Sunday games. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D downtown Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Trust the Glove. You convinced me to pick Denver for my survivor pick. In week 2, I'm in Denver and probably would not have done so, but I trust your head. Go Bronx. He says take state. Then I think he's talking about the college game between Colorado and Colorado State. Well, I took Colorado at 21. Let me just point that out.
Were you ever that aggressively supportive about the Broncos this week?
No, this is why I want to just point this out.
Okay.
I am never going to suggest to you, no matter who you are, what your survivor play should be. I'm just saying with my 4 entries, 1 will probably be on Denver. Vegas regular, you have to mention how bad Al Michaels was last night on multiple occasions. It was as if he didn't know the rules of the league. I don't want to pile on Al Michaels because he's a legend and he's not, you know, he's not 25 years old. None of us are anymore. We all make mistakes. But yeah, there were a couple times, right? He didn't really seem to get that there was going to be an onside kick late either. But yeah, not his best effort, but he has done more in this business than many of us combined. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's tough. It was not a great performance, but I'm not going to sit here and rip on legends, man. That guy's a legend.
Jason Stark, sorry. I still love Buffer. All right, somebody likes Buffer. We got one.
Okay, there we go.
We got one.
Oh, I forgot to look that up.
Let's see. Soccer Picks Club. Any truth to the rumor that Kelly's ears hurt from all that Journey goodness behind you?
Oh, we had Matchbox 20.
No, Matchbox 20.
Matt had to chime in for that. Matchbox 20.
Mike Stack.
I was laughing when I started playing.
Mike Stacks, isn't it a sick feeling when you see Jefferson fumble in the end zone? I'm sitting on Minnesota +4.5. Tell the girlfriend I'm going to lose by a field goal, and 30 seconds later on TV, they put a stat up that shows that a 61-yarder has a 16% chance. I'm like, yep, he'll make it. It's good. We've all been there, my friend. Johnny Ringo, risk-reward, want to reach over the goal line? Consequences. Johnny, couldn't disagree with you more, and I gave all my reasons. And then Mike Rouse, did you know that Matt Brown has a new podcast, not named Long Shots? Ladies and gentlemen, he's a co-host of the show, The Handle, here at 7 p.m. Eastern, each and every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with Mike Somich. And he is the co-host of a little golf podcast. Would you like to say it's called Long Shots real quick, just for old time's sake? It's called Long Shots.
It is called Long Shots.
No, let's do it the way you do it on the promo.
It's pretty much Kelly's podcast for the next for the next 5 months. It's Kelly's podcast the next 5 months.
Matt, the people want to hear you say, let's go long shots.
Yeah, it's long shots. Yeah. Come on in.
It's like, come dude, on you in. Hear the promo so much more than I do.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere. Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. Last night was good outcomes all around last night. So
what did you have last night?
Vikings, Hockenson over, KJ Osborne over, Cousins -9.5 over Hurts passing yards. So we were 4-0 last night.
Nice.
Good night last night.
You got +7 on that? +6.5?
7.5, actually.
7.5.
Yeah, 7.5, actually, on the other side.
A great example of an NFL game. We're getting the best of it matters completely.
So it's an interesting exercise for me now because I'm on air now as these lines are coming out. And so I'm hyper aware of the lines now.
Right.
Like, because it's part of the content that we do. And so a couple of these things, and we'll talk about them over the course of this week, where the lines that came out on Sunday no longer available. I'll still, you know, be able to talk you through whether I think they're good bets still or not. But it was interesting because week two, I've always had a lot of action as it is anyway, because of this like incredible amount of overreaction that we get. Yep. and all of that. And so it's always kind of been my highest volume week as it is anyway. And I thought there were several different opportunities this week from that standpoint. I did hear you guys talking in segment one, though, just about the stupidest rule. And so I know we're not supposed to have, you know, inner company, like shots fired and stuff. But then Femi came on the Twitter machine and said, best rule in sports, and said that get inside the red zone and protect the ball or something or whatever. And I'm like, that's the worst take I've ever heard in my life. Like, what are you talking about? Could you imagine? Okay, so we're playing basketball, right? And if you turn it over in the paint, the other team gets to go down and shoot a free throw. Like, you know, I mean, like, it's essentially the same. Like, it's essentially the
it
same
makes
thing.
No
like,
sense.
Like, why? And you just be like,
what's
because.
The logic?
Yeah, because
is not a good
because. Answer. And it's like, yeah. Wait. So if I turn it over in my red zone, they get to go shoot a free throw. I was like, because
I've done everything right, and you through perhaps sheer luck, right?
Oh, most of the time.
Most of the time, sheer luck. Yes. Oh, and you should get the benefit of this. Yeah, I don't think so.
No,
that doesn't make sense.
It is another one of these rules, though, where it's like, how does it possibly happen as much as it does? Going back to whoever tweeted that in, right, where it's getting punished for it, where there is a wide receiver that seemingly does this every year. Like, every year, the whole, like, I'm going to stretch out, and then it falls out of my hand, and boom, we're talking
well,
about
Well, you can't fumble the ball forward unless it's in the end
yes.
zone,
right.
In which case, then it can fumble the ball forward. And you're just like, why? Because.
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 Because there's a magical plane, right?
You know, the rules committee actually reviewed this within the last couple of years, and they didn't do anything with it because they couldn't for the life of them come up with a better alternative. I was like, that's even the cherry on top of it all. Like, oh, you just couldn't come up with anything better than that? No, not even the 20-yard line? That's not better?
Yeah, like, we somehow all decided where to put the new extra point at and, like, where that should be.
And that was fine.
And everybody decided that, but
we
can't figure out what to do with this rule.
Great rule change that they moved the extra point back.
Yeah.
Because we all love that.
We all love it.
So, okay, it's a 10-yard penalty. It's you take it back to the 10-yard line or whatever. It's a 10-yard penalty. Fine. Cool. All right. Let's move on.
Did you – last thing about last night. Yeah. Did you learn anything about either team that you didn't – like the Vikings, it's like that's exactly who they are. It's always who they've been. The Eagles, they're 2-0. Like I said, hey, they banked the win. So in the end, good for them. But they certainly don't look like they did last year.
Yeah, not so far. I mean, I guess there is something to be said for – kind of like your I think Herb Street said it, or whatever, like your C-plus effort and still you're still 2-0.
Oh, yeah, for
you know,
sure.
You C-plus effort, you're still 2-0. I mean, from a Viking standpoint, I mean, you're just looking at yards, you're looking at overs, you're looking at I mean, like, this is basically like, that's how I'm framing every Vikings game going in and trying to prove to myself otherwise, because Cousins, listen, people can say what they want to about Kirk Cousins is a baller, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, anybody who blames that on him last night? No.
I don't care what anybody says about it. Like, that guy sat there and got battered all night long and just stayed in there and delivered the ball and was able to go and get the hero cover for all of us out there. And all that.
did you watch Quarterbacks this offseason, that Netflix documentary where he was featured?
Yeah.
You gain such a respect for Cousins. Like, the punishment he takes and just eats it.
And just and he knows it, too. Like, he's one of those dudes, like, I'm about to get destroyed. Oh, right. Yep. Destroyed. Like, you know, he just knows it, and he gets destroyed and moves on. But listen, with that receiving core, with Hockenson at tight end, like, and of course the offensive line that seemingly is not going to protect him very well all year, that team is, he's going to throw for 275 plus every single game. They're going to throw 75% of the time, which is what we're seeing basically at this point. it's like overs, 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 overs until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I respect a team, though, that in week two already knows what they are, right? Where it's the, hey, we got rid of Dalvin Cook. We're not even really going to try to run the ball here. Like, we've got the best wide receiver in the game. We're just going to throw. And on the defensive side of the ball, we're not quite as good as what we once were up front, so we're going to be blitzing all the time under a new defensive scheme.
Little Darisaw shenanigans last night wasn't cool.
Yeah,
like that, yeah. I didn't enjoy that a ton, but it didn't end up.
What's the total next week for Chargers and Vikings?
Yeah, I know, right? 87.
Well, no, I listen, on the way in, I had Mitch and Paul in, so it slipped into what it was. You know what it is? It's sub 50. It's 49 or 49 and a half.
I might have to bet.
It's like
right
some it's some ridiculous number, they said. So I don't know.
One of the teams might just get that wrong.
Right, yeah.
like in that thing.
So that seems like a peculiar opener if that's the case. So what's your favorite bet week two? What do you have in pocket that you love most on Sunday?
Well, favorite one certainly is Cincinnati. Because that opened at 2.5. Like, what in the world? The sub 3 on that one is insane. It's still sitting at 3.
Talk about an overreaction.
Yeah,
right?
Juiced 3. Yeah, I mean, the weather, the whole things that were going on. Look, Burrow didn't have any sort of training camp. Like, there's a whole bunch of things to be able to like point towards Cincinnati kind of bouncing back here. And then also just that Ravens injury report. Marlon Humphrey's not going to play. Tyler Linderbaum, center, is not going to play. Ronnie Stanley's on the offensive tackle is not going to play. Marcus Williams, safety, is not going to play. Like,
one weekend.
Yeah, like there's no one out there. Of course, they already lost J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, that's called Melvin Gordon from the practice
exactly.
squad.
So they already lost J.K. Dobbins, and Mark Andrews was still limited. Like, he hadn't gotten in a full practice yet either. I mean, this is just like classic, okay, the Bengals looked like absolute garbage, and then the Ravens kind of looked okay, but not really in a win. And so now this thing opened at 2.5. He's still sitting at 3 at some books out there. Like, I would bet this at 3 all day long. I mean, it's a clean injury report basically on the Cincinnati side of things, and just already a mash unit on the Ravens side of things. Like, I don't know where you look at this and think, oh, Joe Burrow is all of a sudden terrible, and so he's not going to be able to take advantage of a secondary that doesn't have Marlon Humphrey out there, and these pass rushers for them are not going to be taking advantage of an offensive line that's missing the center and tackle and all that. Like, it's just, it's crazy to me. So that one was the biggest overreaction. Favorite bet by far for me.
Wow, by far.
Yeah.
Interesting. What was number 2 real quick?
Number 2, probably the Falcons at a plus number, right? I mean, it's now switched where the Falcons are favored in this thing, but that only happened a day ago, right? And like, this Packers injury for the same deal, right? Packers are going to be running out, who knows who, back Bakhtiari, DNP, Aaron Jones, DNP, Christian Watson, DNP, Elgin Jenkins limited, Quay Walker limited, Rashawn Gary limited. Like, it's a whole bunch of dudes on this team that are serious contributors, serious playmakers that are going to be, you know, either out or going to be severely limited as we head into this thing. And look at the Falcons. I mean, they're gonna make some adjustments. They only threw it 18 times in week one. You know, I think they'll make some adjustments here, and certainly
I can't get behind the Desmond Ridder thing, though. Boy,
I don't know if he's gonna have to do very much.
He might not have to.
Yeah,
you imagine Falcons with a 2-0 after that last week. More from Matt Brown, more of his picks this week, his favorite teaser, what he'd play in Survivor. It's a numbers game at Beeson, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa signature card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa signature card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSiN. And it works better when you do it over Billy Preston in the background as well. So, what do you know about Billy Preston, Kelly? Anything?
Great guy.
Yes, I thought.
Heard that from multiple people. Just overall, great guy.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Let's see. Kenny G, morning, Gil. That rule got me good. I had Jefferson anytime touchdown plus 150. Great show as always. Thank you, Kenny G. Nick G, Gil, in regards to the quarterback sneak, I think it's kind of unique to the Eagles because of Kelce. Taller centers, I don't think, would be able to get as low. I have no problem with the Tokas push. David Chalifour, hey, guys. I contacted the hackers, offered the passwords for the Long Shots podcast. They said they would pay any ransom if the network dropped the plays to 10 times a day. The promo. Let's see. Money Caperletti agrees with you. It's hardly the pushing. I have no problem with that issue at all. This is from Motor City Mike. Oh, we love Motor City Mike. What was the one where Motor City Mike? We were talking about him on air about something. I can't remember, but we like Motor City Mike. He said, please explain to Matt that if the offense fumbles the ball out of bounds on the opponent's baseline, I was talking about basketball now, the opposing team does get a chance to go down and score on the other end. And if fouled, could absolutely end up shooting a free throw. It's just, come on, stop with it. Stringfellow Hawk is very mad at me. And here's how I know that he's mad at me. He's using a lot of caps. He says it's the end zone in capitals. All kinds of rules are different for these 10 yards at each end of the field. If you lose possession of the ball and fail to regain it, why should you be rewarded? Capitals, you had the ball. Stringfellow, with all due respect, you didn't recover it. Why should you be rewarded?
No one did. But I'm fine if rules are consistent, right? So like
no consistency.
Under that thinking, that should be the case with the entirety of the
all
field.
Fumbles.
All
right?
Fumbles.
All fumbles.
Correct.
If I fumble out of bounds,
automatic
it's
turnover.
A turnover.
That's right.
Yeah, auto turnover. Anyway. You drop the ball, the other team gets it. That's it.
Can you imagine the mayhem of that?
That's it.
I'm sorry.
You drop a snap, other team gets it right there. That's
Jay,
it.
Jay's the game forever. Okay, so Cincinnati and Atlanta. I'm with you on Cincinnati. You made a compelling argument on Cincinnati. I don't have them in pocket. By the way, do we have my plays and your plays? I want to throw these up before Matt continues with his. And I want Matt to poke holes in all of my football plays, or the ones that he wants to poke holes in. I got the Chiefs. As soon as Chris Jones was announced in, I bought it to 2.5 when it was at 3. So I have the Chiefs -2.5 and -127 from earlier in the week. The other five are probably going to be my contest plays. I have the Chargers. Well, I don't know what the contest number is, quite frankly, so don't hold me to that. Because a couple of these I got to 3. So the Chargers at -3, I have them in their game at Tennessee. I have the Seahawks +5. Talked about this not only on this show this week, but also on the Megapod, which we did with Adam Chernoff yesterday at Beating the Book. Once again, super humbled by the numbers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Giants, I have -4 against Arizona. You know how I feel about the Giants. I am very bearish on the Giants this year. But this is the proverbial must-win situation. You got to get this done. I think they cover the 4. I got the Broncos. I took it down to 3 in my account. It's 3.5, though, and I will play that in the contest, even if it's 3.5. I like the Broncos against Washington. I thought Washington's offensive line got exposed last week. Sam Howell didn't have much of a chance on some of those. And I think the Broncos, proverbial must-win situation, I think that defense clamps down on Washington. And then I have the Steelers. I know I ran my head into a wall with them last week against the Niners. I'm going to do it one more time against the Brownies. I bought it up to 3. But I will tease them with the Bills as my teaser play. What of those do you like the best? What of those do you hate?
Yeah, I mean, look, Chargers 3 is really good. I mean, I don't really see a path here for the Titans all that much. If we're thinking that Austin Eckler is the reason why this is still at 3 and not 3.5, then I don't get it. Man, Josh Kelly came in, looked absolutely fantastic for them. I mean, that's one of the contest plays for me too that will be in mind for sure. I'm on the other side of you though on the Seahawks one, and mainly because of their offensive line situation, right? I mean, like, so both they're going to be about both tackles. They already put Abe Lucas on IR, and then Charles Cross isn't going to play either. And so if you look into that one a little bit further, once both of those guys went out, Geno Smith got pressured on over 50% of his dropbacks, and yeah, it's a week for them to work some new guys in, but man, you got to replace both tackles, and it just gets really, really, really tough in my opinion. Devin Bush limited on Wednesday for them as well, and then he went to a DNP on Thursday, which we know the whole downgrade thing is never good for a player. So their defensive end Mike Morris didn't practice on Thursday as well. So it just is a pretty rough injury report. That said, they should get the debut of Devin Witherspoon this week. He should be back out there for this squad. So yeah, it's mainly just that offensive line deal for them. Like as bad as they looked in the second half, a lot of that had to do with the fact that Geno had no time to do anything because they had backup tackles in there. And I just don't know. You saw Aiden Hutchinson, I'm not overreacting to 1 week, but I mean, Aiden Hutchinson is the truth. And like, he was in the backfield against the Chiefs, it seemed like every single play, and long week here to kind of prepare for this. So yeah, I'm actually on the other side of, of that one as you listen. If the Broncos can't cover, then what are we doing here? If the Broncos can't cover, it looks like Jerry Jeudy's going to be back. So now, in what fashion? It might be that whole like he only plays in the red zone type deal because kind of easing him back in. But it does look like Jerry Jeudy's going to be back for them as well. So now you have a full complement of everything. You have a game under your belt. Sean Payton, if you are going to make this team, you are at home against the Commanders. No excuses.
I believe in the category of not enough was made of this in week one, on the heels of Sean Payton going after Nathaniel Hackett, on the heels of him doing the whole Russell Inc thing. Here comes the Sean Payton onside kick to start that game against the Raiders. It completely backfired on them. Raiders got a short field and went up 7-0. They won by a point. So I know not one play makes every game, but that's how you started it. And that was all they needed to secure the victory in the end. And listen, Sean Payton seems to think he's won 10 Super Bowls. He's won one, last I checked. You're not Bill Parcells. You're not Vince Lombardi. You're not Joe Jackson Gibbs. Relax with the arrogance. By the way, you were a scab. We all remember. Win a football game. Then start talking again. His act is wearing very thin.
The one of yours I'm very interested in because it was just a complete stay away from me is the Browns and Steelers. That one terrifies me, that game, because it's like the Steelers can't be that bad. But at the same time, if you kind of dig in to a lot of that underlying stuff, Deontay Johnson's going to be out. They just put Hayward on IR yesterday. Hayward, one of the most important defensive guys in the league. And so that scares me. And then you look at the Browns and like that score, you look into that box score, guys, like and go rewatch the all 22 of that thing. It looked like they beat the Bengals terribly. And then you go back and watch, the Browns were garbage too. They were just a little bit better garbage than
Deshaun
what
Deshaun Watson was garbage.
Yeah, like they were garbage too. They were just a little bit better garbage than what the Bengals put on the field. Like there was nothing to walk away from that game and feel very excited about if you're a Browns fan by any stretch of the imagination. So that game, very, very, very interesting to me. I cannot wait to see how it all pans out.
You have three others in addition to ones you've given already, which are the Bengals, the Falcons, and then you said your oppo me on the Seahawks. You have the Lions. You have three others. You're on the Niners. You got a nice number on the Niners, 6.5. You're on the Dolphins in their game against the Patriots. That to me is the most confusing game of everything. In fact, on the Megapod, when we asked the question, what's the game you want no part of? That was my answer. And then you took the Panthers plus, you got a good number here. You got the hook too against the Saints. What do you see in the Panthers? Because I'll give one more Megapod thing. When I asked the question of who do you got in Survivor, Adam Chernoff, who was on with us yesterday from Right Angle Sports, he said the Saints as a sort of game theory play, let everybody else have carnage with the Buffaloes of the world. He was like, give me the Saints against the Panthers. You don't quite see it that way.
No, I really don't. Listen, DJ Chark going to be back this week. I think you can kind of look last week and DJ Chark is not Jamar Chase or any of these guys by any stretch of the imagination, but he was the number one receiver coming in for this team. He was the guy that was working as the full-on, full route tree guy, and he wasn't able to be out there for Bryce Young. And so getting him back, I do think, gives that option to where he can look more like an NFL quarterback. And honestly, if you dig in, you rewatch that game, he's a rookie, and you make some rookie stuff, and you do some rookie things, but it wasn't all that bad. More than anything, it's just the number that we have attached to this game, because Saints offense is not good either. And you look at that, I mean, maybe this is more of an underplay than it is, like even a Panthers 3.5, but if I don't think there's going to be very much scoring, then I'll take the other side of a three, you know, a lot of times when it comes to all that. But you look, they're still a couple weeks away from having Kamara back out there. Despite the 305 yards from Carr in that game, you look, there were still very Derek Carr-ish plays in that game, and very Derek Carr-ish reads and all those different things that I just don't. The defense, you can say what you want to about the offense on the Panther side, and it's true. They might not score very many points, and this could end up biting me because the Saints went 10-0, but that defense is legit. Like, the defense is good. They're not going to be looking up at too many giant deficits so long as the offense is at least semi-competent. And so, give me the hook on that one. I'll take it.
Those are all very favorable numbers on those last three. Niners -6.5, Dolphins -2, Panthers +3.5. Dolphins got to be a numbers play for you, just the fact that you got it south of three, right, against the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk on the other side, but I actually really like, really, really, really like the Dolphins, actually, as a team.
All right,
yeah.
We'll talk more about that again. Teaser, Survivor, Matt Brown from The Handle here at VSiN, primetime action star. More Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football back in full swing with another week of epic games. Who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Hartman. Oh, I love it when Chris Hartman tweets when Matt's here. This is an old primetime action thing here. He says, Gil, with Matt allegedly paying off the longest future bet ever by attempting his field goals and conning Kelly to get a spray tan for said attempts, shouldn't the host have some skin in the game? Perhaps a sushi place reveal if he does the impossible and makes a 40-yarder. Now, if he makes it from 50, though.
Whoa.
I'll make it.
I also
it.
Forgot that we totally sat here last week and claimed we were doing this afternoon.
Oh, we didn't. We're bad planners.
You guys are.
All right, next week we're doing
send
it.
Alarm.
I'm writing
send
it down
alarm.
Right
yeah,
now.
Send
yeah.
alarm in your thing.
I'm yes, writing it down right
yeah.
now.
Send alarm in your thing. Yeah.
I wouldn't believe these two.
No. This
next
send
week.
Alarm, yeah, send an alarm and just remind me on Thursday so that we don't.
Boom. You know. Friday afternoon. I got nothing to do about Friday afternoon. You and I were talking before the show. I'm taking a 2-hour nap this afternoon.
Yes, you are.
It's going to be great.
That's
right. It's going to be fantastic.
Judd O'Connor. Al Michaels may have been bad, but the walk down memory lane about Jalen Carter was probably the worst thing all night. Side note. Don Beebe would disagree about the fumble rule in the end zone. That's a reference to Super Bowl gone by between the Bills and the Cowboys, where he knocked the ball out of Leon Lett's hands. The Jalen Carter sort of wave off, where it was like off the field, arrested, a couple people died, but what a value pick. Sort of sounded like, yeah, that was not a good moment for them.
Yeah, it's a move on, please.
Yeah, easy pickings too. Is someone intentionally trying to sabotage your show, Gil? Wouldn't surprise me if they just put you out in the desert. The audio, however, would be better. Anti-Semitism, as always. He clearly anti-Semitism. No, not Kelly. It's a joke, Kelly, for God's sakes. Kelly gets very uncomfortable. Jason H11. Hey, Gilly, what happens first? Matt looks a football, kicks a football, or we find out the name of the sushi place. The sushi place has so many legs.
It really does.
Shooter McGavin. Regarding the Tuchus push, I'll agree with Wishnev. Once we start seeing more of the league doing it successfully, I'm sure having a quarterback like Hurts who squats over 600 pounds does help. Rick Olia. Whoa, Gil just had his Warren Sapp put a jersey on moment while talking about Sean Payton. Say, did you have the Colts in the Super Bowl by any chance? Matter of fact, I believe I did that year. Eddie Vegan Runner. CNN just reported that the MGM hackers will not stop until they get Gil's sushi place.
Listen, go to Sin of Japan. You don't have to worry about it. Sin of Japan is like...
Sin of Japan is
fantastic. And listen, if you want to spend $1 trillion, Wakuda is the best sushi in Las Vegas.
Sin of Japan is about the second or third best place in town. And the which is the one that's $500 a pop? I've never been.
I don't know, but...
The Wakuda tasting menu.
Yeah, have you done Wakuda yet? Like,
no.
Again, so... You just have to understand what you're going into, right? Yeah. Like you are leaving, and you will almost feel guilty after you pay. Because I sent you there, right? Because I sent you there with your dad, right, or something like that.
Well, I've eaten there a couple times. I don't remember, but I do have a more recent Wakuda story where I had a Wall Street friend in town.
Well, you needed him, when the check came.
No, we did the whole. He did the whole like we sat down there, and then I got up to use the restroom, and when I came back, he's like, "Good news, we're doing the tasting menu," and I'm like,
"Oh boy,
I didn't really feel like sick." Get $500 into this dinner tonight, and was a split the tab night.
It's fantastic. Like the food is amazing. Yes. You just have to know what you're walking into when you walk through those doors. It looks really fancy for a reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's going to cost you.
It's going to cost you.
It's going to cost you. You are not walking out of there feeling good afterwards. Like from a cost perspective. Like, you're never like, man, that was value.
Kelly Billen, not an omakase guy. My favorite part of the whole sushi thing is, though, how Matt's like, it can't be. I know my spot. I'm like, no, trust me, it can't be. Trust me, it is.
Yeah, but that's great because you get protective about it, but you're never going to take him to your spot.
Oh, I'll take him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll take him. Like, Jason Weingart gave me a spot in sushi. I'll tell
Does
him.
Does it have to be like a white van situation?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You got to be like
no,
blindfolded
no license
in the back.
Plates, yeah. Everything. Yeah, I'll blindfold you. I'll take it out when you're there, and then we put it back on when we leave. What's your favorite teaser legs of the week, sir?
You know, I don't have one currently in the account, shockingly enough.
Not a Buffalo Pittsburgh teaser?
With everything. I mean, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but. There's a little piece of me that is interested in Bears, like up to 8.5 in a game that's sitting 40.5. The Bucks were not good either in that win. Like, they were not good. I mean, they got outgained. That's the other thing about, like, the reason I was on the Vikings last night, too. You just, like, go in. They outgained the Bucks by 123 yards. They had more yards per play. They had more. I mean, everything about it. It was just, you know, bad turnovers, right? And it's like the Bucks are still the team that we thought they were entering the season, which is not a very good team. Now, the Bears I didn't think are very good either. But if you're going to give me 8.5, two bad teams going at it in a total of 40, there's at least something there, right?
Sure.
There's at least something to that. Not in the account yet. And now I think this Bills number has moved into teaser territory, getting that down to 2. I don't understand why people are coming in back in the Raiders. I mean, the news for the Raiders has actually been bad. Like, Jacoby Myers is definitely going to miss this game. Like, he's deep in the concussion protocol, as they're saying. So it's like, he's definitely going to miss this game. He was your number one, you know, de facto number one receiver. Devontae Adams didn't practice 2 days in a row. I think it's probably more precautionary type stuff for him because they know they're going to be without Myers. So even if he has like a hangnail on that toe, it's probably like, get it good because we're going to need you. But I don't know why this move the other way. Like, now you get them under a field goal. I think the Bills is at least an interesting leg.
Yeah, sure. I won't be subtle about this, Gil, but to answer that question real quick, because I know we're going to go over ours later. I love the Bills and 49ers teaser this week. It scares me.
Bills Niners teaser?
Bills Niners. Yep, Bills Niners.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong? Teasing down faves.
You know, as good as the Niners looked, I will say this, like, everyone's coming out, maybe Brock Purdy's way better than we thought, and you know, and then you go in, it's like, he was certainly not bad, but like, not end all be all, but PFF, he's with the 11th best quarterback in the league last week. No big time throws, 2 turnover worthy plays. Like, it's he just didn't have to do very much. Like, it was just, Ayuk was wide open. I'm not going to be the guy who's like, I could not have thrown it to him, but any competent NFL quarterback most likely could have thrown it to him. You know, like, there was so much talent on that team that he just didn't really have to do all that much. I will be curious when they do get a real test, a real challenge, what he's able to do. And if maybe I'm just completely wrong about this guy.
No, like, maybe, I mean, we made the point all through that magic carpet ride last year when he went 7-0 that, I mean, that's part of Kyle Shanahan. It's a combination of Kyle Shanahan scheming it properly, right? Like, to protect him from things. And then the fact that they're just so stacked everywhere else, right?
They come out of this game, and if he throws for 280 and 4 touchdowns and stuff, and everyone's going to be like, look, Brock Purdy. No, it's the Rams. Like, no, it's the Rams. Like, let's wait. Let's pump the brakes.
What was the most shocking result for you in week 1? Was it the Rams, Seahawks? Was that the one?
Probably, most likely. Yeah. No. Yeah, pretty close. Because I was a pretty big Seahawks guy coming into the season, you know, and like, have futures on them and all that stuff and everything. So like, that one was right up there for sure.
No, I just wanted to go back to the Purdy thing real quick, because it's a little bit like the Tua thing we talked about yesterday, where it is
a little bit.
I get it. Like, I agree with every single thing Matt just said, and this team is stacked, and I think there is a lot of people you could put in that position and succeed with. But at what point are we going to give this guy any credit? Like, how many games does he have to win? I don't know. Because I'm a guy who wasn't high on him last year, and all he did was keep winning.
Did you hear the Micah Parsons quote? Micah Parsons was like, did he say this about Brock Purdy? I think he did. He said Brock Purdy is a top 15 quarterback. And people were trying to decipher, was that a compliment or was that a... Was that a knock?
Should be a compliment.
It's a compliment. Yeah. It's a total
Should
compliment.
Should be a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he is. Yeah. Conservatively, sure. He's top 15. Just because there's not that many great quarterbacks.
There's a lot of bad ones, yeah.
There's a lot of bad ones. There's a bunch of rookies. I mean, you got to think about that. I mean, we're starting 3 rookies. Like, those guys are going to have to take time to work their way into even that remotely into that conversation, right?
So, plus, what's your favorite stat, Matt? There's more astronauts than there are starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really tough job.
We looked it up. I mean, seriously, yes.
That is your favorite stat.
Yeah.
Matt's furiously Googling astronauts.
Yeah, we found out that there are more astronauts than there are starting quarterbacks.
Matt's like, 33 astronauts. I knew I could make this point. You are in, remind me, you're in or you're not in Survivor?
Yeah, all three were on the Commanders last week, so that was never a doubt.
Oh, you do that every year.
Yeah, never a doubt. Never a doubt.
What are you using? Who are you using this year?
I'm just going to go the Bills. There's, you know, if I don't know if I'm, I don't know if the Bills are as good as I thought they were entering this season. And so I'm just going to kind of take it where I can get it.
Do you think Josh Allen is as good as we thought he was?
Right. I'm just going to kind of take it where I can get it this week and like move on and then maybe not have to question myself down the line as to like, oh boy, I saved this team, but did I save them, you know, for the right reasons?
I think I'm going to have two of my four on the Bills. Yeah. And I think one of my entries is just going, I'm not even going to think about it, just going to be the fade to Arizona entry.
Mm-hmm.
Just I won't even turn off my brain. Watch that one get farther than all the ones I'm picking and choosing about.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Mateo, always a pleasure, man. Good luck with all your week two bets. How'd you do in the contest? Did you do a contest week
one? Yeah, 3-2.
3-2. I was 3-2.
Yeah.
Kelly, Mr. Bidlin over here is 4-1, this guy.
4-1, baby.
This guy.
Coming for that money. Get on that quarter money.
Go on, get on.
Let's go.
Go on, get on.
Matt Brown, everybody.
You got to win out if you want that quarter money.
Co-host of The Handle with Mike Somich, Saturday and Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here at the Network and of Coast. And of course, rather, co-host of Long Shots. It's called Long Shots. Greatest golf podcast there ever was. DK Network, Dan Lebatard is next. We continue the football talk, college football with the Bear. And Dr. Bob next, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.